This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Kathy Selvidge joins me live in studio. She is from Wise County, Virginia, and she is Vice President of Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, or SAMS, and it's online at sams.org, the only environmental organization in Southwest Virginia whose expressed mission is to take on the ravages of coals. SAMS was recently awarded Blue Ridge Outdoor Magazine's Greenie Award for being the best new green organization, and last year, Kathy Selvidge was named by Blue Ridge Country Magazine as one of 14 people in the 9 Appalachian states who are leaders in shaping the future of the region. In 2006, Kathy received the St. Francis Ecological Award of the Ecological Network of Sowers of Justice, an award for lifetime innovative work promoting the interconnectedness of all life. Kathy Selvidge, a native of Wise County, Virginia, joins me live in studio. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I've been looking forward to this, and the best place for us to start, I should say yesterday I was talking about this. I was so excited about this interview because I've been looking forward to it for some time. And I put mountaintop removal mining on my list of the things I hate the most, right up there with, you know, racism and slavery and these things that it outrages me that it's 2009 and these things are alive and well in the world. Racism and slavery and militant religious fundamentalism and mountaintop removal mining. I mean, it's on my list. It definitely is, just boggles my mind that we as a nation permit this kind of thing to continue. And I'm so glad you're here, somebody who has lived this and is from a mining community who can educate us about what's really going on down there as the coal industry destroys the oldest mountains in the world.
We could call mountaintop removal mining a war zone to get coal.
Is that what it looks like? Yeah.
That's what it looks like, and that's the way it seems like it's done. They'll have packer trucks that bring in and drills. They bring in and drill these gigantic holes on the tops of the peaks of the mountain, pack them with explosives, and then they're exploded. The mountaintop has exploded.
They literally blow the top off the mountain.
They literally blow the mountain away from the coal. It doesn't all get dispersed, so then they have these large pieces of machinery where they shove all the rubble and rock down slope. And that's how we end up destroying watersheds and stream beds.
Yeah, so they take the top off the mountain and push it down into the valleys.
Push it into the valleys, creating valley fills.
Yeah, amazing.
That bury streams and watersheds.
Kathy, tell me about your dad and your family, because your dad was a coal miner, right?
My dad was a coal miner. I was raised in a family of makers. We don't destroy things. We make things and take care of them. But my dad, after World War II, went to work in the coal mines. He was a deep miner. He worked in the same spot for approximately 30 years. It provided a way for him to take care of his family, to raise his children. But I can tell you that my dad loved to hunt and fish. His favorite was to hunt, to be in the woods. And he died at 86. His last trip to the woods would have been about when he was 82. My husband put him in the pickup truck and would take him up in the Jefferson National Forest to a place called Chestnut Flats, where the incline was not so steep, so he could still have his walk in the woods and enjoy it. So when mountaintop removal mining come to our community, had my father been alive, I know that he would have had a much more stringent reaction than I did.
We're talking with Kathy Selvidge of the Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards at sams.org. So your dad, it was 7 days a week, 6 days a week that he would go down into the mine?
5 days.
5 days a week?
Mostly
and it was
five.
Deep mining, which means what for people like me who are ignorant?
Right. They go in on an incline. You know, instead of going straight down like in a shaft mines, they go through the mine entrance and they may travel almost perpendicular, you know, inside the mines. It may be very deep. And the mine, the coal is extracted by machinery and carried out via a belt line and carts, essentially, but they're electric.
Yeah.
You know, And so that's very different. You are not doing as much environmental damage to watersheds, stream beds, or most certainly they don't cause huge amounts of erosion on the tops of the mountains.
Yeah. With this traditional mining that we sort of know growing up in school of people going down into the earth and coming out with coal.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what your dad did.
That's what my dad did for 30 years in one spot, and he had some short-term jobs that were less than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So I'm curious, as the daughter of a coal miner, what happens in your life? When does it click when you realize this mountaintop removal mining, the coal industry, which had brought the jobs and to your community, when you realize I have to stand up against this? This isn't right.
Right. There was a company that moved into our community, and actually I thank them for inspiring me to act. When it happened, I was standing before my cooktop late one afternoon preparing supper, and there was a blast. It was the first telephone call I made to complain. It seemed like a rollout. Rather than just like this explosion and it was over, it went on longer, and it rolled across the valley from one ridge to the other. And then it felt to me like the movement I was feeling in the earth felt like it bounced off that and rolled back. And I said, my God, are we having an earthquake? And then I realized, you know, that the blast had began that. And I said, this is it. I am furious. I'm calling. So it was my first call to DMME to complain about blasting.
And what's that, the division of?
It's Division of Mines, Minerals, and Energy. And beneath that is DMLR, which is the Division of Mine Land Reclamation.
Is this state or federal?
It's state, okay. And it's found in the Commerce Department of the state of Virginia.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this company that had come into your community, and this is Wise County, Virginia, which is where, for folks who don't know, who haven't had the joy of traveling past Roanoke to southwest Virginia.
Well, we're far south of Roanoke. We're in almost the far southwestern corner of the state of Virginia, very close to Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not that far. So, yes, I know that lots of folks in Virginia don't know about anything south of Roanoke.
Yeah.
But we do exist.
Well, for a lot of folks in Northern Virginia, they think Virginia ends at Charlottesville. And then for folks in Charlottesville, we think it ends in Roanoke. But it keeps on going. How many hours drive from Roanoke to your house?
About 3 hours.
So another 3 hours past Roanoke into Appalachia. So this company that comes down there, what are they doing? They're doing mountaintop removal mining. This is not deep mining that your dad did for 30 years.
No.
They're taking the tops off of the mountains.
They take the tops off. And they were doing it right in the community where we live. This is ongoing. This is just an example of what goes on in communities where people live in southwest Virginia. Mining has crept inward. Now, why has that happened over the last decade or so, or even longer? Because coal is an exhaustive material. And as the coal has disappeared, they have to come closer and closer to communities where people live to extract what's left. That's why we do mountaintop removal, is because we are going after thin seams of coal that is no longer the cream of the crop. It's not easy to get, and it's not economically feasible to get. So the cheapest way that they can get it is to blow the mountain away from the coal.
Is there any other method that they would do to get to it? Like, is there another way to get to this particular coal? Can you go into the mountain? And
well, if the seams were thicker, I think that would be possible. And there are other types of strip mining, but I believe that they do environmental damage as well. There
yeah.
is
what is strip mining versus mountaintop removal?
Well, you can have other forms of strip mining, like contour mining, where they would go in and mine essentially around the sides of the mountain. Instead of blasting the top off and dumping it into the valley, they would mine around it. They'd be mining around the mountain where the coal seam is.
Right, right. But that's more expensive.
Yes.
So the cheapest way is to just blast the top off the mountain and throw it in the valley.
Right.
And then dig the coal out that way.
Yeah.
We are talking with Kathy Salvage of SAMS, the Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards Organization. You can learn more online at sams.org. There's also ilovemountains.org and wiseenergyforvirginia.org. We're going to take a very quick break and continue this conversation on the other side. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. We're talking live in studio with Kathy Salvage of SAMS, sams.org, Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, the only environmental organization in Southwest Virginia whose express mission is to take on the ravages of coal. Kathy is the daughter of a coal miner who went into the deep mine for over 30 years down in Wise County, and now she is taking a stand against mountaintop removal mining. Kathy, paint a picture for us, and for the folks, I got to tell you, for the folks who've never seen, literally seen what this looks like, please go to your internet, and the pictures are there. I'm sure sams.org has some information. There's ilovemountains.org. See for yourself what this actually looks like on the landscape. I mean, the only way to describe it is the moon. They create a moonscape as they destroy. These are the oldest mountains in the world, and they are literally blowing them away.
Right. There's no appreciation for the fact that they are millennium years old, but we should be. And yes, they obliterate it.
Yeah.
We used to go before our local board of supervisors when it was ongoing in our own community and call it Little Baghdad, because it literally is like living in a war zone.
The constant explosions and the rumbling earth and the shaking earth.
Right. And the dust that it's in the air from the explosions themselves, and then from the coal truck traffic, which sometimes can be like a major highway because there's so much of it.
And from what I've read, those guys who drive those trucks actually get paid by volume, not by time. So they're encouraged to drive really fast.
Right.
And there's been like, that's like one of the many dirty little secrets here, that there's a lot of accidents with these coal trucks up in the, you know, on these mountain roads, because they're actually paid to drive as fast as they possibly can.
They're incentivized, you might say.
Yeah. So yes. Tell me more about the effects and the extent of this damage from this cheap way of getting coal.
Right. I think it's important for us to understand that mountaintop removal, coal mining, in addition to demolishing our mountains, has contaminated or destroyed nearly 1,600 miles of streams throughout the Appalachian region.
Because they dump the mountaintop into the valleys.
Yes.
Where the water is, yeah.
Yes. And springs, if we think about the mountains and we've spent time there, we understand that springs in the source of water spring up high on the mountain. And when we destroy that, we are destroying the headwater streams of our creeks, of our rivers.
So have you seen for yourself down in Southwest Virginia these creeks drying up, and these creeks that you knew as a little girl where water once was is no more?
That's entirely right. There's a stream. It is the mouth of the Roaring Branch between Appalachia and Big Stone. I used to pass that on my way to my grandma's house as a little girl. The water roared out of there, thus its name, Roaring Branch. Today I have set by that stream recently, and the volume of water that flows from that is heavily diminished.
Yeah.
It's almost gone, and we've had a very rainy season. So, yeah, but we got 1,600 miles across the region that has been destroyed. It's important that Virginians know that 150 miles of those are in Virginia.
150 miles of streams and rivers are gone. Because they've dumped the mountains on top of them.
Right. 500 mountains have been leveled. 50 of those in Virginia. We have to understand that in mountaintop removal mining, also, all of the vegetation is stripped away, and we create the risk, the guarantee of increased flooding that will eventually dismantle and cause entire communities to disappear. It poisons drinking water supplies, it ruins aquifers, pollutes the air, and harms and destroys the habitat for wildlife.
Now, Kathy, let me play devil's advocate here and just ask you this question. The coal industry has brought jobs to a poor region of our country, Appalachia, for decades, and those jobs have helped to raise children like you and educate children, and it's jobs and it's money and this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I will respond to that.
Sure, yeah.
Because I think that it's important for us to recognize that coal is in our bloodstreams. It's in our history. I don't think we have to divorce our history. I think that we can continue to acknowledge our history. But it's also important to realize that at this point in time, it is not making us rich. In the county in which I live, the household poverty rate currently stands at about 23%. Think about that. 23% of the total number of households in my county are under the federal poverty level. Does that sound like that what we're doing is good for the income of the people?
So you're saying they brought jobs, but not necessarily good jobs or well-paying jobs.
Right. And I'm saying that when you do mountaintop removal, jobs disappear. You need to understand that mountaintop removal is mechanized. It's not done by humans who did it as my father did. There are less people who are working on mountaintop removal sites versus if they were doing underground work. Underground would take a multiple of at least 3 times the number of people. But what we do in mountaintop removal is we have more explosives, more machineries, less employees.
We're talking with Kathy Selvage of SAMS, Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, online at sams.org. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather and continue this conversation on the other side. If you have a question or a comment about mountaintop removal mining, the number's 977-1070. Let's rejoin our conversation with Kathy Selvage of SAMS. It's Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, and that website, we want to correct that, the website is samsva.org. I'm so sorry, Kathy. I gave people the website for Sam's Club, and I meant, let's get it right. It's SAMSVA, as in Sam's Virginia, samsva.org. There's also ilovemountains.org and wiseenergyforvirginia.org. Kathy Selvage is the daughter of a coal miner, a native of Wise County, Virginia, who is working to end mountaintop removal mining, which is destroying the oldest mountains in the world. And you had said earlier, we're looking at 500 mountains. I mean, this isn't like, oh, the 3 or 4 mountains are gone. 500 mountains are gone in Appalachia, and 50 of those are in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Mountains that are totally gone. You cannot bring them back. They blew them up and then threw the rubble down into the valleys, destroying the streams. And before they blow them up, they clear cut them, right? They totally cut everything down to like a moonscape.
Right. They remove every bit of the vegetation that is there, which precludes, if you have rains that come then naturally you're going to have flooding and erosion. A lot of the damage is done to the creeks and the riverbeds too from sedimentation that comes off those jobs and flows into the stream beds.
Yeah, well, we're familiar with that in Albemarle County. Up by the new Target, we had some of that ourselves, so we can certainly sort of picture what it would be like to do that to a whole mountain and the erosion and that would cause to the streams. Just amazing. Kathy, let's go back to the economics of this and the idea that, you know, in this economic climate, any income for any company is a good thing and any job is a good job. But what fill us in on some of the details of the true economics behind this type of mining.
Well, I think we always have to ask the question, does coal make us rich or give us plenty of jobs? And it's important to understand, I told you about how many households in Wise County is under the federal poverty level. But it's also important to understand that since 1980, income in Wise County itself has dropped from 96% of the national average down to 69%. So if coal is making us richer, I wonder why that is. And it's also important to understand, too, we talked a little bit about how the coal mining jobs have disappeared since we moved from deep mining of the coal into this arena where we blow the top of the mountain off, how we do it all mechanized and without employees. So it's important also, too, to be able to say that since 1984, coal-related jobs have declined 66%. So the number of folks among us that have jobs extracting that important producer of electricity called coal is on the downside.
So at the end of the day, what we're really talking about here is the coal industry, the coal executives, the people who own this business that's getting the coal. That's where the money's going.
Yes, and a lot of that money leaves the area. It leaves the area with our coal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot, and this coal, a lot of it actually leaves Virginia. If we folks here in Central Virginia are very familiar with those empty coal cars, the long trains that travel west through town, headed out to Southwest Virginia to pick up more coal, they fill up and they go back along, I think, Route 6 along the river down to Norfolk, where they just dump it in the big piles down there. And a lot of it goes on ships and is exported to places like China.
And it is. It is exported. Yeah. Yes. So we have coal yards now in Eastern Virginia.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
places where we go to the beach, to Love Waterside and Norfolk, now we have coal yards there.
Yeah. I was actually driving my daughter down to the beach this summer, and we passed right past that coal yard, and it is unbelievable. She's like, what in the world is that? And, of course, they're constantly spraying it to try to keep down the dust, but they don't do that where you live in Wise County, do they? I mean, that you live constantly under this cloud of dust of coal, which I can only imagine what that's doing to the people down there.
It is. I think it affects their health as well. And we've been involved in a Rota air dust study. Back in May, we presented the results of that report to the State Air Control Board in Richmond. The people who lived in that community just outside the town of Appalachia had been complaining to various agencies about the quality of the air that they were breathing for years. But it was like it is many other times. The buck gets passed. Nobody wants to step up to the plate and take responsibility. And I personally believe if I was in that position, I would rather be criticized for doing something than to be criticized for doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened is it took a couple of years, but we finally got enough people together and enough different organizations interested in that. We were able to do 12 days of data at two different places in the community of Rota. And the quantity of dust that was in those samples was unreal. I think on all but 2 days, it was above the national standards for the amount of dust that people should be breathing. And on one particular day, it was at least 3 times that.
Yeah. And for folks who don't know what that is, you're being poisoned. I mean, that's what it is. It ain't just dusty. It's poison.
It's poison.
That's in the air. For
yes.
folks who've never been around it and have never studied this, it's full of mercury and heavy metals that gets into your body, and you can't get that stuff out.
You can't get it out. It ends up in our bodies. It ends up in our fish, in our rivers, and we don't have much fun going fishing anymore because we can't eat the fish. There's so much mercury in it.
Yeah.
But yes, what's in that air, there was 2 quartz filters used in that study so they could analyze and determine what was in it. And there is cadmium, there is beryllium, there is arsenic, there is mercury. Everything that you can find that associated with coal was in that air that people were breathing. And those homes were very close to the road where the coal trucks was hauling out the coal. And so they have these little short yards. They were former coal camps. So they have these little short yards, and then their homes are very close to the road. And you have these caravan of coal trucks coming by, dumping all that dust or blowing it up in the air that contains all of these heavy metals that should never end up in human bodies.
Yeah. We're talking with Kathy Selvage of SAMS, Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, online at samsva.org. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Kathy, let me get your thoughts on this, because there's a lot of people in this country who truly believe, and I happen to be one of those folks who think that there's some truth to what they say, that, you know, if you just leave business alone, it'll be fine. Government is the problem. Government gets in the way. All these regulations. If we would just, there's something about the marketplace that's pure and holy, and we just need to respect it and leave these companies alone and let them do what they need to do. And the problem is when government gets involved and steps in the way and tries to regulate them, and that we need to stand up against government. Your thoughts on that? Because we are seeing now that time and again, where elected leaders have looked the other way when it comes to this kind of stuff and what goes on across Appalachia, and now to a great extent with mountaintop removal mining, the destruction of the oldest mountains in the world, 500 mountains killed here by the coal industry as they blow the tops off these mountains. The politicians are just looking the other way, or they're going out of their way. In the case of George Bush, they're going out of their way to let this kind of thing happen and help it happen. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's a real tension we have in this country. We want companies to succeed. We want entrepreneurs to make money. And yet, at what cost?
Right. I believe that we need more regulations. I believe that they are so driven by their bottom line. And this might be terrible of me to say, but I will say this. They may be so driven by their Learjets and their Lincoln Continentals that they really don't care how they get them. They don't care how many lives they have to destroy, or how much of our environment that we live in, how much of our community life that they destroy. They may not care. They're so driven by their bottom line. If they're large companies, they are beholden to stockholders. Those stockholders not only have the responsibility, but should be saying, we don't want profits at any price.
Yeah.
We want profits, but there is a reason, a reasonable stance here that we can take.
And the government has not gone about thinking creatively about this and how to create incentives for the coal industry.
For them to do the right thing.
Right, right.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Why aren't we thinking about incentives for clean energy versus incentives for the coal industry to thin seam mine?
Yeah.
Why do we incentivize the wrong thing?
Kathy Selvidge is with SAMS, Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, online at samsva.org. You can click on photos at their website, and it's quite an eye-opener to see what we're talking about. The destruction of Appalachia, 500 mountains destroyed, and they're totally blown up and dumped into the valleys. It is going on as we speak. It happens all day, doesn't it? I mean, it just goes on all day long, right?
Yes, when it was ongoing in my own community, that was Glamorgan Properties, blasts could occur 6 to 8 times a day. Now, that did not occur at night. The blasting does not continue into the night, but what does happen is all the lights and the heavy machinery continues to go at night.
Yeah, and the trucks roll through the night, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And they're still moving stuff around. And there was that the case in 2004 when they were moving stuff around down in Wise County, when that giant boulder, they moved that boulder that went down the mountainside and went right through that house and killed that little boy sleeping in his bed, right?
Yes, that is absolutely true. And had we, this would be the fault, I think, of the boards of supervisors of the local counties. But had we had a noise ordinance in place, then perhaps that would not have happened. And people deserve to have a decent night's sleep without it being interrupted. But in the case of Jeremy, that was a huge boulder. Went down the side of a very steep mountain, rolled right into the bedroom where he was sleeping, and killed him in his bed.
Yeah.
Our children are valuable.
Well, the mining company that was responsible for that called it an act of God, which is their refrain. Anything that goes wrong, they say, well, that was an act of God. And they were fined $15,000 for killing that little boy. And that was it. They just went back to work.
Just went back to work.
What was the reaction down in Wise after that?
Well, there was some marches in the town of Appalachia when that happened. There was some outrage, I think. But I can't say that it continued, you know.
Well, people realize at a certain point that, you know, you're fighting the coal industry and the government is with the coal industry.
Right.
They're constantly looking the other way.
Right, right. Yeah. We just don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be extracting coal in that way. We don't need to be destroying streams, wildlife habitat, people's lives, children's lives.
So, Kathy, where do we go from here? I mean, what's for people who are listening who want to do something, mm-hmm. how do we stop this? How do we, you know, beginning right here in Virginia, I mean, what can we do to set an example for the nation and end this and say, you know, we don't want any more mountains destroyed in Virginia. There's different ways to get at the coal, you know, and if you got to blow a mountain up and destroy a mountain to get the coal, then you're not getting that coal.
Well, I think it's important to realize that only 4% of our electricity comes from the mountaintop removal coal mining. And so if we bring that to an end, we are not going to leave people freezing in the dark.
Yeah.
But there are other ways for us to get energy. The cheapest, cleanest, and quickest way that we can move forward right now on energy is through energy efficiency programs. It can also put people to work. There was an ACEE study done a couple of years ago that told us to do the very best we could do. We could use energy efficiency and conserve 27% of our electrical needs by 2025. In that same study, to do that, to accomplish that, by 2025, we'd put almost 10,000 Virginians to work doing it.
Yeah.
So it's one way.
Well, the coal industry and the power industry don't want you conserving anything.
No.
They don't like efficiency.
No, they wouldn't like that because that's going to affect their bottom line. But we're all about affecting the bottom line of citizens when they can save 27% or extend their electricity, make it go 27% farther. They have more money in their pocket to spend on something else. Perhaps they'd like to take their family to a ball game.
Yeah. Kathy Salvage is with SAMS, Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, online at samsva.org. Kathy, I want to thank you so much for traveling here and joining us this hour. I've learned so much, and I want to thank you for standing up for what's right in America, for citizens and families, and I really admire you, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Check out the website, folks. It's samsva.org, samsva.org for Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.